Good morning. It's Wednesday, May 20th, 2009. You're listening to the Brain Labor Report.
Listen up. We've got a war zone here today right in our heartland. And across the USA, these multinational bastards don't use tanks and guns, it's true. But they've declared a war on us. Fight back, it's up to you. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Going to work could be the death of you and me, but we're not unarmed. Our weapon's solidarity, Jim Beals and Karen Silkwood, the list goes on and on. With every year that passes, 60,000 more gone. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
They boost your copay.
War on the workers.
Don't you know what to say?
War on the workers.
When they talk privatization.
War on the workers.
And cooperation.
War on the workers.
When they call you a team.
War on the workers.
You better learn how to scream.
War on the workers.
Oh, that's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
It's a war on the 8-hour day. It's a war on occupational health and safety. It's a war on Social Security. Now, thanks to WTO, GATT, NAFTA, MAI, the IMF, and the World Bank, it's a worldwide war. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Yeah, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time, sisters and brothers, you know it's time right now. I said it's time we started calling the shots.
It's a war on the workers. That was Ann Feeney, and this is the Brain Labor Report. This is Wes Brain. I'm host of the show.
This is Jason Houck. I'm the engineer.
Coming to you on May 20th. It's Wednesday, hump day, halfway through the week. Well, for those who still have a job and for those who work, you know, a traditional, can we still use that word, 40-hour week, Monday through Friday. It's interesting. So many people don't have jobs in this country. I'm telling you, it's getting tougher and tougher. The unemployment rate continues to go up. Is it stabilized yet? Is the recession over? I'm not sure. They say it is, and yet look around. It doesn't look good at all. The Brain Labor Report comes to you every Monday through Friday. We're a half-hour show out of Ashland, Oregon. That's right. You ever heard of Ashland? Oregon? Maybe you've heard of Ashland, Kentucky. There's a whole bunch of Ashlands. We'll do a show on that someday, but we're really not about geography. We are about the struggles of ordinary working people. We do come to you out of Ashland, Oregon. That's what I was saying at KSKQ. That's our low-power FM radio station, 94.9 FM. And again, we're daily 7 7 a.m., that's right, Pacific time. And you can hear us over the internet at www.kskq.org. Always near the top of our half-hour show, we do like to bring you the Workers' Independent News. This is 3 minutes of cutting-edge news out of Madison, Wisconsin. This is a syndicated piece. It is available around the country. I know in all of Southern Oregon, the only place you can hear it is on KSKQ. So for Wednesday, hump day, hope you got a job. May 20th, it's Wednesday, 2009. Here is the Workers' Independent News.
You're listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. The Oregon AFL-CIO, AFSCME, and the Oregon NEA are running radio ads in Oregon opposing Democratic Senator Ron Wyden's proposal to tax health care benefits like income. The labor organizations say that middle-class working families would take a $2,000 to $4,000 tax hit if health care benefits are taxed. During a press conference call on the issue, we asked why the debate isn't focused on a single-payer universal coverage system rather than wrangling over issues like whether or not to tax employer-based benefits. Some polls indicate a majority of Americans support single-payer. It saves 30% in overhead costs and covers everyone, whether they have a job or not. Hundreds of labor organizations nationwide have signed on to support the Conyers single-payer health care bill, and millions of Americans do support single-payer. So why isn't it a part of the health care reform debate? Here's Oregon AFL-CIO President Tom Chamberlain's reply.
I don't know if we ever get to single-payer in this country. I mean, what you're talking about is tearing completely down the existing system and starting from scratch. I just don't see how that's going to happen. I mean, the debate over the public option, which is just an option for employees, is intense. So going to a single player, I just don't think it's not part of the debate, and I don't know how it could be.
New York City's largest public employees union has launched a campaign over what it calls $9 billion in wasted money spent by the city to hire private contractors. Jesse Russell reports.
District Council 37 has begun posting ads in subways urging New Yorkers to tell Mayor Michael Bloomberg to cut private contractors, not public services. The council says that many of the contractors don't pay a living wage or provide health care benefits, and some don't even pay state or city taxes. During a May 7th City Council hearing, it was suggested that Bloomberg has contracted out so much work because those contractors have the skills the city workers don't. DC 37 Executive Director Lillian Roberts disagreed with that suggestion and referred to $79 million in custodial work that is contracted out.
And you have welfare recipients who are funded by the state and the city. After their 5 years, they're working and they're looking for a job. And the job that they can do, I mean, they're doing it for 6 months for the city. And you take that money and give it to a private contractor and you don't employ them? How much skill do you need?
Here is today's economic report. When stacked up to 22 other countries ranked highly by economic and human development, the United States is the only country that does not guarantee workers receive paid sick days. According to a report by the Center for Economic Policy Research, the U.S. is the only country out of the 22 that doesn't provide sick leave for workers undergoing 50-day cancer treatments. When put in terms of the potential for a flu pandemic, the economic repercussions could be enormous.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
And you're listening to the Brain Labor Report. Okay, planned for today's guest is this. Going to do this via the telephone. We're in Ashland, Oregon, and Tom Leadham is in Portland, Oregon. That's about 300 miles away. For folks on the East Coast, let me tell you, it's not like the next county. It's a long ways away. And we're closer to California than Portland. We are 14 miles away from California here in Ashland, Oregon, by the way. Okay, get away from geography and let's talk about the struggles of ordinary working people, Wes. How about healthcare? I'm telling you, it's a national disaster. Tom said he talked to us today about that. He's the secretary treasurer of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, Local 206. So here's the plan. I'm going to play a song, and we'll see if we can get Tom on the horn this morning. Okay, the song. Healthcare as a military campaign. That's the long name of it. Healthcare Now. Local. Bill Lawson sings this song. Check it out. Here it is right now.
It they succeed in privatizing the military, you'd better get your gun. We've seen it all before, no compromising. You'll be defending yourself before they're done. We've got enough arms to protect us from the thought. Now we need a healthcare plan to defend us from within. We need national healthcare. National health. If the government does the job of running, as need demands they do, and only they are qualified to wield that much power, and truly a campaign as essential to our national health, as national health is of equal if not greater magnitude.
Okay, healthcare as a military campaign. That's the long name of that song. Healthcare Now, that's the short name. And by gosh, healthcare is a national disaster in this country. We're going to talk about it a little bit more. I think we are successful. Tom, can you hear us this morning?
Yes, good morning.
Well, good morning to you, Tom Leadham, Secretary Treasurer of Teamsters Local 206 out of Portland, Oregon. Tom, welcome to the Brain Labor Report.
Well, thank you, Wes.
Okay, well, a good place to introduce this would be to say, and I'll ask Tom to tell us a little bit about himself. Been a long activist, I know. Progressive activist, I'll say that, with the Teamsters Union. And Brenda and myself, we ran into Tom last Saturday. We were up in Portland, Oregon. We were there for an annual celebration of Portland Jobs with Justice. And, okay, you want the details? We were standing in line to get lasagna when Tom was standing right in front of me, and I said, Tom, would you be a guest on the Brain Labor Report? And he said, I sure would. Okay, that's play-by-play up to the minute. Tom, tell us a little, for our listeners who may not know you, would you tell us just a little bit about yourself, please?
Well, I've been a long-time Teamster activist and officer in Oregon, and, you know, worked with the International for many years in the 90s, and I've been a long-time reformer in the Teamsters Union. But in terms of healthcare, I've been the chairman of a healthcare trust, a Teamster healthcare trust, for more than 20 years, and for the last several years, I've been working with Jobs with Justice and the Physicians for a National Health Program on healthcare, in particular supporting the real solution, the real reform to our issues in healthcare, and that's a single-payer system.
Fantastic, and that is such good work. There's a big lack of knowledge out there, and you know, the average person you talk to on the street, as hard as we work, Tom, the average person you talk to doesn't know a damn thing about single payer health care. I hate to say it, but the average person really doesn't. Tom, I want to bring something up at the celebration up there in Portland for Jobs with Justice. They were showing some video clips, and I'm recalling that Tom, you were wearing a white smock, you had a stethoscope around your neck, and you got another job going on there, Tom. What was that all about?
Well, we, meaning a group of activists from Jobs with Justice and myself and some physicians, attended a healthcare forum that featured Earl Blumenauer and some others, and we were promoting the single payer concept and handing out material and so forth at the door, and I think that's what you're referring to.
Okay, so you were dressed as a physician. That's not you're not a physician, Tom, are you?
No.
Okay. Okay. Well, tell us about your interest in healthcare in HR 676 for listeners who may not have ever heard about single payer healthcare and HR 676. Please tell us a little bit about it.
Well, single-payer system is really the solution to our healthcare problems, and that's what we've been promoting. But I have to tell you, it's the easiest organizing I've ever done, because once people understand how the system works and where it's in place around the world, and the way it's worked, they want to know more, and the polling in the last half a dozen years has really swung toward the single-payer side of the equation. There are a number of big polls, everything from CBS News to Yahoo to AP, that show that the American people are in favor of a national health care system administered by the government and paid for by taxes. And even when the question is asked in that stark a manner, a clear majority of Americans are in favor of the system. And among physicians, we've seen a real swing in the last decade to now where we have more than 59% of physicians favor a single-payer system. I think it's really easy organizing, and when people really understand what it means and how it works, they're in favor of it.
Well, that's getting the word out, I guess, is the hard part. This is not on the front page of the Oregonian today, Tom. So how do we get the word out? And, one more part, two parts. How do we get the word out? But number two is, I want to talk about a part that people really do relate to from what I've found, and that's the idea of getting healthcare back in the hands of physicians instead of administrators sitting behind a desk. So two parts. Maybe that one first. Let's talk about the physician medical control of our healthcare, and then how do we get the word out, Tom?
You know, this system, single payer, and the terminology is probably unfortunate. Single payer doesn't really say what it is, but you know, we're stuck with it, so we need to organize around it. But a single payer system is a simple concept, and you know, large corporations, large union trusts, they've all discovered many years ago that the way to control costs is to self fund or self insure. And what they've really done, what large corporations have done, is that they've just taken the insurance companies who are in business simply to sell risk, they've taken them out of the equation, and they've self-insured, meaning that money comes into a fund, and when people have claims, the fund pays the claims. I mean, it's a very simple concept. Corporations and large union trusts have benefited from this, over the last several years, and have found ways to control costs. So the concept is a simple one, and getting the word out, educate people. I mean, it's by programs like this. We don't have the money that the insurance lobby has, clearly, but we have a plan that will actually work and control costs. There's more than enough money in the system right now. The U.S. spends more than twice as much as any other industrialized country on health care, and we get very, very bad returns. We're ranked number 37th by the World Health Organization in terms of the health care that we actually receive. So we've got a lot of room in between to make some serious change and reform the system. And that's what we're trying to do. But the key is to get the insurance companies out from between the patient and the doctor. And a single-payer system, you know, some of the critics will scream, oh, that's socialized medicine. Well, it isn't socialized medicine because under the single-payer system, particularly the bill in Congress, H.R. 676, it keeps the physicians, the doctors, and the hospitals, they all stay private, just like they are now. The only thing that changes is that the government administers the plan, meaning the government collects the money and the government pays the claims. So, you know, the system remains, the providers all remain private. And we think that that's just a very effective way to go.
That makes so much sense. And you cleared something up. I think so many people are being brainwashed on this. You used the S word. I think you did. Socialism. Oh, my God, this is socialism. Half a step away from communism. And, you know, I'm telling you, some people call that a poison pill. You throw something out there like that, and I'm telling you, it just kills the conversation from that point onward. This is about people still being able to go to physicians of their choice and whatnot. It's how the funding mechanism is done, and quite frankly, you spelled it out real well. We want to get the insurance companies the hell out of it. Let them go insure, you know, cars and houses, but by God, when it comes to our health care, let's turn that back over to doctors. Gosh, that makes so much sense to me. And
if I could stop you for a moment, Tom Daschle, who was going to be the Health and Human Services Secretary until he got into, they discovered some tax problems
sure.
that he had. Back in February of 2008, in a radio interview, he stated, all the arguments favor single payer, but the politics don't. And that's really where we are in a nutshell. We just need the political will to institute real reform. And when the insurance companies have such huge lobbying budgets, in fact, they have four lobbyists for every single member of Congress. That's what we're really up against here, is the finding the political will to make a change that really benefits the American middle class, American workers, and the American people. And that's what we're lacking at this stage. We know the system works. Taiwan, for example, a laissez-faire economy of a capitalist society, they instituted a single-payer system in 1995. They're the most recent country to do so. And they had 40% of their population that had no health care at all prior to the institution of their single-payer system. They based their new system on Medicare. And H.R. 676, the title for H.R. 676, it's now in Congress with 75 co-sponsors, is Expanded and Improved Medicare for All. So we've got a good model here. We just need to expand the benefit, make some improvements in it, and we've got the basis for a really functioning system. In Taiwan, where they when they started out, it polled at an approval rating of about 30% as they were in transition. Now it polls at a 70% rate. So it's the most popular government program in Taiwan. And, you know, Wes, they spend 6% of their GDP on health care. In the United States, we're spending 17% of our GDP, and we're just getting lousy results.
Wow. Well, you spell it out there. Folks, we're speaking with Tom Leadham this morning. He's our guest on the Brain Labor Report. He's Secretary Treasurer of Teamsters Local 206. He's up in Portland, Oregon. We're talking to him on the telephone, and we're talking about health care in this country. We're talking about single-payer health care, trying to put a little sanity into the conversation. And, Tom, I'm reminded a couple of years ago, talking about the power of the insurance companies, a couple of years ago, there was a fairly minor legislative change to cover more children. This is back to using insurance again, but a couple of years ago, and if I remember right, Tom, prior to the big insurance company lobby doing their work, about two-thirds of Oregonians were totally in favor of doing this. And then you know what happened? About $12 million worth of lobbying happened, and they threw $12 million at it. Oh, I'm going to get fired up, Tom. And they completely turned around that with a bunch of funky, untrue ads, by the way. And isn't it amazing? Oregonians flip-flopped on it, and only about one-third supported it. I'm bringing that up, and those numbers may not be totally accurate, but they're not too far off. I'm bringing it up, Tom, to really emphasize what you were talking about, the insurance company lobby. Any comments on that a little more, please?
Well, they use a campaign of fear, and they're protecting their own interests. It's not in the interest of the American people, and they know that. They're prepared to spend a lot of money to defeat any kind of reform. And, Wes, this has been going on since 1945.
Oh, boy.
I mean, this was the first time we started talking about health care reform. And since that time, and most people are familiar with, you know, Hillary Clinton's program and what happened with that, every time the insurance companies have been able to defeat any kind of real reform. And it's gotten to the point where people in this country are suffering. They have no health care. They lose their job. They lose their health care. People can't switch jobs because they're going to lose their health care and may be excluded under a new plan. We have, you know, independent businesses, small businesses that can't get coverage at any price. Some that do get it, the prices are astronomical. We're spending far more than any other industrialized country on health care. This is the result of decade after decade of kowtowing to these insurance companies, and we really need to take them on once and for all. They're in the business to make money. They're selling risk, and they make more money if they deliver less health care, and they're very good at it. So, you know, until we get the health insurance, these insurance giants out of the mix, we're not going to have real reform in health care. And these various band-aids, you know, while I respect everyone working on health care, and certainly any steps that we can make in the right direction are that affect people are positive, these band-aid approaches are just not going to solve this problem. And for workers specifically, as the price of health care goes up, it means there's less money available for wages, less money available for pensions. The money that employers spend on health care, that really belongs to the worker. They've foregone wage increases in order to get that benefit. So this is their money. And if we come up with a better system that saves money for them, that money would then be available for increased wages and in some cases for increased profits for the businesses they work for.
Fantastic. We could be more competitive in the world, too, if we didn't spend all the money on health care. Tom, we're just, oh, my gosh, it goes fast. We've got about a minute and a half left to go. One quick one on insurance companies. All those people would be put out of work. Maybe we could put them to work doing preventative health care work. I have not enough time to get into that, but we would have some workers out of a job, insurance companies. Maybe they could be retrained.
Well, HR 676 specifically addresses that issue by preferential hiring. Also, there's a long transition period, so people, there would be, you know, we would benefit from attrition and so forth. But HR 676, and I would urge your listeners to read the bill. It's only 16 pages. It's very clear, very concise. But it provides for workers that are displaced as a result of the institution of a national health care program. And there can be more added to that to benefit those individuals.
Wow. Well, in a short, about an 18-minute interview, we've covered all kinds of issues that have talked about single-payer health care, a real reform for health care in this country. Tom Leadham, we do have to say goodbye to you. I want to thank you for a very informative show. It's so important that people understand this. Thank you for being our guest, Tom, on the Brain Labor Report.
It's a pleasure, Wes.
Okay, folks, well, we're out of here on Wednesday, hump day. Hope you make it through the work week. Hope you still got a job. We got another guest we're lining up for tomorrow. We'll keep it a secret, but we're going to have another good show for you. And, okay, hang in there. This is the Brain Labor Report. We'll be talking to you later. Okay, everybody, have a good one. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye now.